my own talking points, we do have a starred comment, which means I get to play this bad boy.
Fuck Washington!
All right, so the comment here comes from Brandon Oming, a D'Lo and a first, and Gabe Vincent, JHS, and seconds for something as separate trades. Fully healthy, what's your nine-man rotation? Which three players get left out? Max, Gabe, and whom? So it's funny the trades came up. I did wonder about this after the game because I think Poeltl is the kind of big that, like, if the Lakers don't want to expend the two draft picks that Utah is expecting for Walker Kessler, could you maybe get Poeltl for a first or a protected first and whatever salary? So this is the trade that I kind of came up with here. I'm going to get rid of Brandon's comment. Sorry, Brandon. But the trade that I kind of came up with here is Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, and Jalen Huchefino for and a first round pick for Jakob Poeltl and I think it's Okai Agbaji. There, you know, he was the young wing. He's a good shooter. I think, you know, the first there, you probably have to remove protection if you're going to get Agbaji. The reason I included Agbaji is so that the Lakers would be taking in a little bit less money. Is that still up? Yeah. So it's kind of cut off there at the bottom. But so the Lakers would be sending out $25.5 million, like $25.6 million, and they'd be taking back just a shade under $24 million, which would allow them to have a little bit of space to be able to add like a Lonnie Walker or something, since you're sending out Gabe Vincent and Jalen Huchefino. Something that I was just kind of thinking about while I was watching the game. In between times that I was yelling at the TV to, you know, Jakob Poeltl, like, stop fucking punching out our stop punching our best players. Just stop doing that. That's an option there, I think, or that could be an option down the road. That isn't sourced right now. That is purely speculation on my part. I do know that the Lakers and the Raptors are pretty regularly talking to each other about Bruce Brown. I'm sure Jakob came up at various points too. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what comes about all of that. And hell, if you want to kind of fold that into a bigger trade and say send out D'Lo for, you know, and get Bruce Brown in that deal too. Probably have to send out both picks for that one. So you're getting Poeltl and Brown and Agbaji, you know, for D'Lo, Gabe, Vando, Jalen, and those two firsts. Would I do that? That's a lot. That's a lot of draft comp. I'd have to protect one of the firsts, I would say, and heavily protect it. Maybe it's a pick swap. Maybe it's a first and a pick swap for that combination of players is about as far as I would be willing to go. Or maybe it's like a first and a couple second rounders or something like that. I do think Vando is the kind of player that Masai Ujiri likes, you know, the uber athlete who gets after it defensively and really kind of mucks up the game. I do know that Masai, in the previous conversations that he had with the Lakers, Masai really pushed for Rui. So maybe the Lakers would have to include Rui in one of those deals. I would try to hold off on that if I could. But that's kind of what that would look like as far as the trades there. Now, as far as the rotation aspect of that question here, I'll pull it back up. Fully healthy, I guess, as they are currently built right now, what's your nine-man rotation? So you have I'll keep Cam in the starting group because of how he's playing right now. So Austin, Cam, Rui, LeBron, AD gets you to 5. Vando, D'Lo gets you to 7. a center, whether that's Hayes or Wood eventually, is all you need. So there's eight if you choose between Wood and Hayes. And then your ninth, it has to be Connect, right? Because they are adamant that he has to be a part of this rotation. Now, I am more inclined in the regular season to lean on a 10-man rotation. And I know people are going to be annoyed that I bring this guy up again, but I would prefer Max play over Gabe. I just don't like Gabe tonight played 18 minutes. Ooh, he shot five times. Good job, Gabe. He finished with 5 points, zero assists, one rebound, one steal, was a plus 13. But I think that was, you know, the run. He happened to be on the court for the run that was going on when the Lakers took care of things in the second half. But yeah, I don't know. I just think Max has to be a part of your future and has to be, and in order to be a part of your future, you have to make absolutely sure that Max isn't a part of your right now and therefore won't be a part of your future. I don't think Gabe is going to be a part of their future. So I would like to see Max get the nod over Gabe for the 10th man in this rotation, which, like, at the end of the day,
yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
It's a negligible decision either way, but you do have, you know, that's an okay rotation. Still a little thin, still a little narrow, still a little small too. But you know, overall, tonight was a big night. This weekend was a big weekend for JJ, because if you're going to make that kind of a call and you're going to bench D'Lo. And I know they don't like the phrasing of, like, yeah, we benched D'Lo, but they did. Like, you sent him to the bench at the start of these games. If you're going to do that, you'd better effing win. And I watched D'Lo walk off the court after the game ended, and I watched D'Lo, like, while the run was going, and there was a little, you know, he was kind of down here and just kind of looking at the court. And if the Lakers did score, to his credit, he did clap, and occasionally he made it all the way to his feet. But like, you know, and here's the thing too, by the way, I want him to be frustrated that he was benched. I think that's healthy. I think it's good that a starter, a career long starter, would be like, what the f- these mother, you know, like I want D'Lo to be a little tweaked by that decision, because it makes him work that much harder to prove that he is better than the role that the Lakers are playing him in. So, yeah, I hoping for the best for D'Lo. I do think this is his best path forward as a pro. But if you're going to do this, you'd better win. And credit to the Lakers, credit to D'Lo for accepting his role, credit to Austin for thriving in the role that he has now without D'Lo next to him. The Lakers are 2-0 since this rotation change. Yes, they played two bad or broken teams, and that should probably be taken into account. But it's really important, if you're going to do something like that, that you win, and they did, and that really helps you there moving forward. Where's that button? Here it is. All right. The first question here from iTunes is from poor guy whose name doesn't show up. Rob Pelinka is that sales rep that really, they got a really big sale his first year that any other rep would have gotten as long as they had a pulse and the luck to call that one person, who now can't get him stale to save his life and just sends out emails and sends follow-ups, but doesn't close. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's like sadly on point. It was funny. the first job that I ever worked in, like, legit commission, because, like, I worked commission in high school. I sold, like, shoes at a sporting goods store, and you had, like, you had commission and you had bonuses and stuff like that. But, like, you're talking about, I think at best I probably made about maybe 13 to 15 bucks an hour, which was a bunch for a high school kid in, you know, the early 2000s. My first, like, legit commission job where, you know, you would make upwards of $1,000 off of a sale was I worked at Men's Warehouse. Right. And I remember my first month there, it was crazy. Like, the sales, for whatever reason, my first paycheck was the most money I had ever had in my bank account, by a long shot. And I was like, I talked to my manager and I talked to other salespeople there. I was like, man, geez, this is awesome. Let me do this forever. Like, this is, and I, again, like, I'm a young, I think it was like, 19 or 20 when I worked at Men's Warehouse, when I started working there. And I was like, geez, I have this all figured out. I'm really good at the presentation aspect of it. Pretty good talker. Good liar occasionally to customers who said, like, man, do I look, am I pulling this off? I was like, oh, totally. Yeah. Look at the bonus potential. Oh yeah. Yeah. You got this. Look at you. Confidence, it's all about you. It's not about what people tell you, whether or not you look at it, all that stuff. And I remember talking to my manager, a guy named Kenny, and I was like, yeah, you've been doing this your whole life. What do you think? He's like, shut the fuck up. Like, stop talking. You're in college. You're going to finish college, and you're not going to sell suits for the rest of your life. You're too smart for that. And you have more options than that. And, he was like, every single person who goes into their first sales gig, you have the luck of your first month, your first lucky month. And it's what pulls every salesperson into pursuing that first month for the rest of their time in that company, or the rest of their careers if they stay in sales forever. It's like, you'll never get this feeling ever again in sales. He was right. I sold plenty of stuff over the course of my, you know, careers and stuff. Hell, this is a sales job. I'm basically selling this channel to you. And, you know, this, I think I'm okay at it, but I was never able to feel that first month ever again. And I do kind of wonder if that championship season was Rob Pelinka's first month. All right. The next one here is from Viva Exceptionalism, who writes, Anthony, love the show as always. Thank you. In my view, the Max trashing has gone too far. He's clearly struggling, but he's a second round pick at 21 years old, spent 1 year in college, was misused or unused by Ham, and is being misused by Reddick, playing him at the three with the second unit instead of at the two where he belongs. Yet he is outperforming Gabe Vincent in every counting stat except steals. There's a 0.1 favor difference in favor of Gabe for steals. He is doing it in fewer minutes. He's outperforming Dalton, who is 2 or 3 years older and played 5 years in college, in rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals, again, in fewer minutes. And unlike Max, JJ runs plays for Dalton and puts him in better positions to succeed. So I think Max bashing has gone too far. I agree with you that he should be played at the two with better players to unlock his potential. Between the two of them, Dalton is the better choice at the three because he's a bit taller and his body's a bit more mature and can withstand the physicality of that position better. You can never have a true evaluation of a prospect if you misuse them. Thanks again for your outstanding work. Lakers exceptionalism. I don't really have much to add on that. to be completely honest. I think all of that is pretty well summarizes what how I feel on that situation. And the biggest thing is too, the Lakers keep doing this thing where they just like they quit on projects. You know, project hits a snag. All right, we're done here. JHS, you're going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Project hits a snag. All right, J-Huff, you're never going to get minutes here with the parent team. Project hit the snag. Scottie Pippen, best of luck, buddy. Scottie Pippen Jr. just had a triple-double the other night. Like Colin Castleton, gone. Blake Hinson, gone. Like how long it took for Austin and Caruso to finally get minutes on an NBA court. Had they given up on those guys, we're probably having a very different conversation now about where the state of the team would be. So the beginning of the season has been really disappointing for Max, but you can't sign a 21-year-old to a 4-year contract at almost $10 million a year. And then at the end of, before you even get to 10 games, be like, yeah, this guy can't play. Let's see what we can get from him on the trade market. Because guess what you're doing? You're sinking his trade value. And you're never going to get fair return on your projects if you never complete or you never like attempt any of your projects beyond the first sign of adversity. So yeah, I don't get it. I was bummed to see tonight again that Max Christie only got 2 minutes in garbage time. The other night, he only got a couple minutes, again, in garbage time. It doesn't make sense to me that this guy would be completely out of the rotation, especially seeing as one of the options that's getting played ahead of him. Especially, by the way, like Gabe Vincent doesn't make any sense being ahead of Max if D'Lo is coming off of the bench, because D'Lo is your creation. You don't need Gabe out there to be a quote-unquote spot-up shooter, seeing as he can't shoot. Nobody cares if he catches the ball and he's open out there. So I would rather play Max, the bigger guy, who can defend better and more people than Gabe Vincent can. And also, like, eventually the hope is to trade Gabe Vincent. The hope isn't to trade Max Christie. So you kind of want to invest the time and the reps into the player that you actually think has a future in this organization. And that still, even given the frustration, by the way, I am just as frustrated as anybody watching the guy, right? He was supposed to be the guy who would start. Fortunately, Cam Reddish has looked good in that spot, but Max was supposed to be the guy who would be starting. And he played so poorly, there was like, man, that can't happen. And the Lakers got lucky that Cam was ready to step into that role. It sucks that I'm saying those things about Max, but they're true. But what is also true is that the Lakers need to do more to develop their projects before they just kick them to the curb, because that's how you just waste assets, is by not developing them and then trading them at their lowest values. All right. I see one more. Question here, any news on the ADI injury? I'm looking on Twitter and I haven't seen any big updates here. Nothing. So we'll see how AD's eye holds up over the course of the night and how he's feeling tomorrow morning. And, fingers crossed, because if he is going to be out for any lengthy stretch of time, the Lakers are screwed. So hopefully we get to avoid that altogether. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a great guest. I'm not going to jinx it because the last couple times that I did say names, it didn't work out. So I'm not going to do it again. All right. Shams just tweeted out a breaking thing, but that's for Chet. Chet is going to be out for at least 8 to 10 weeks. Woof. That is big news for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who look incredible at the beginning of the season. Sucks for Chet, man. He was playing good-ass ball. All right, though. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. Tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. That really, really helps. Please subscribe to the show here if you guys are watching live. If you guys are watching live on Twitter, youtube.com/@LakersLounge is where you can find the show. And then in the morning, if you guys are listening to this via podcast, hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. And I will talk to you later.